John Hinton, is it true that you have actually patented and registered the patent of the concept of an encyclopedia, and that you will sue anyone that uses this concept without your permission?
I certainly know of no one else in the world who is doing encyclopedias.
I heard they were developing something like it in North Korea, but they've signed a deal with you that they're not going to do that now.
No, that's a legal process that's currently ongoing. I can't say too much more about that, I'm afraid. It is my concept alone.
And that concept in terms of the what's acceptable in the public domain, what is an encyclopedia for people that don't know?
An encyclopedia is a collection of 26 songs on a topic, one for each letter of the alphabet. And there will, in 2 days' time, be two encyclopedias in existence. Last year, I launched my Encyclopedia of Science, where I did a song about science for each letter of the alphabet. And at this year's Brighton Fringe, I am premiering my Encyclopedia of Animals. So I am doing an animal for each letter of the alphabet.
So there isn't a Chinese version?
They have yet to commission me to do that version. No, I'm not so up on the Chinese alphabet, I'm afraid.
Now, you've performed these shows around the world. They are hugely popular. They're family-friendly, mm-hmm. And what's interesting is they're peer-reviewed.
Yes, they are, absolutely. They're all peer-reviewed. They're not just, shall we say, silly songs about animals, which obviously there are a lot of in the world already. This is science communication. It's certainly suitable for families, but it's very detailed on the science, and I do make sure I get my science right. I've got fact-checkers for this latest show from about five different universities, and from the Sea Life Centre in Brighton and Drusilla's Zoo Park, and Raystead Animal Sanctuary. They're my main partners to peer review my work for this latest show.
And I don't want to sound pretentious, but in theatre, truthfulness for a lot of performers is absolutely everything. Yes. And it sounds like there's an ethic of truthfulness here, that even though you could probably get away with it, you chose not to.
Yes, absolutely. It does. I just have an inner little knot every time I say, let's say, a rhyme, which I know I shouldn't really get away with, because it's only a half truth. Or I've said, for example, in one of my songs for this show, that the duck-billed platypus has venomous toes, because the word toes rhymes with what I want it to rhyme with. Actually, the duck-billed platypus has venomous spurs on its feet. So it's only a very subtle difference, but every time I sing that lyric, I'm like, why isn't there a better rhyme for spurs? It's very important to me that it's all accurate. That's just something about my brain, or, you know, all the shows I've written for the last decade or more have been rooted in science. They have all, as you say, been peer-reviewed by scientists. And that's very important for me.
And to be clear for the audience, and this is here at Brighton Fringe on a number of dates, but you don't need to have seen any of the other Encyclopedia shows to just dive into the latest one.
Goodness me, it's not part of a series in that way. No, I mean,
but there might be some DVDs. Come on, for 48 quid for the lot.
eventually, there might be a CD eventually, if anyone still has CD players. We're actually selling the score, so everyone can play along with the songs at home, even though I haven't actually recorded the songs. You can come to this totally fresh. And it's for anyone from 5 upwards, 5 to 105, we say. It's board game theatre, 5 to 105.
And just in terms of you as a performer, so the Encyclopedia of Science, you've been touring that, you've gone to the other side of the world with it. Are you somebody that, you know, is happy for all these things to run parallel to each other? Or do you, a bit like Puppeteer might do with a show, put them away, take a breath, maybe have a few days whispering or saying nothing, and then, right, now this one?
I do really enjoy coming back to a show, having left it for a few months, or even a year, as sometimes happens. It is really nice and fresh to rediscover that material. But no, I don't mind jumping from one show to the other, one day to the next. You know, there's not really an issue with remembering lines. It's all muscle memory. That's not really a tricky thing. I mean, I don't know. It might be for some people. I'm not sure. But I don't find it particularly difficult to remember the lines. It's just, it's a question of energy and it's a question of freshness and making sure that the pieces are fresh. So I will give them a break occasionally. But no, I can do three different shows in 2 days when need be.
I'm also interested when you talk about education, but there's also a role for theatre sometimes and music and comedy to win people over to something. And so at the moment in London, we just received news of a science fiction theatre festival. And I've certainly seen reviews of science fiction theatre where one of the reviewers has said, an audience coming out, I didn't think I liked science fiction, but now I do, having seen this. And so I know what reviewers have said to you, that, you know, if your kids aren't interested in science, you know, it's not a promise, but they may well walk out going, oh, I didn't know science was so interesting. So I guess here, if kids are, you know, gaming and just watching TV and animals are somewhere out there, you know, this could win them over, couldn't it?
Yes, absolutely. After one of my work in progress performances of this show, I had a message from a mum whose kid is now demanding of their teacher to find out the Latin names of all animals, for example, and who probably didn't even know that animals did have Latin names, you know, and now they're really keen to know them all. I'm an evangelist for science, I guess. I'm a newborn scientist. I haven't studied science myself, so I've come to it fresh. I make shows about topics that interest me, and in the hope that I can share some of my enthusiasm of discovering about these topics with others, and also making them on topics that I think are important about the world. Like, you know, an obvious one in the animals show is the current extinction rate, for example, and, you know, the environmental change that's going on. And, you know, I certainly don't knock people on the head with that in the show, but it features now and then through the show. You know, I make sure I keep it a living theme through the whole show, that, you know, we really have to do something about, you know, protecting all these amazing species.
And as a musical performer, a comedian, a writer, very creative, you know, person in this field that's kind of his fringe, but also could play a stadium or a very small, you know, space. Yeah, maybe. There is a danger here, and it was in my tongue-in-cheek kind of opening question about the patent, is that you could spend your whole life just finding a new area and putting in Sonclopedia off. But the dark side of that is you could arrive one day, you know, at the borders of hell and heaven and be sent to hell for eternity to come up with new encyclopedias of. At what point in your, you know, you're not an old guy, you're not as young as you used to be, at what point might you say, well, that series, it's not a series, is done, and that now I need to think up something else? And are you already thinking of what else you might do when this patent gets bought up by Google?
I'm not, no. Wouldn't that be nice in a way? Morally dubious, maybe, but wouldn't it be nice if someone did? So I've got this trilogy that I did about Darwin, Einstein, and Marie Curie. That I completed. I was like, that's over. You know, that's a trilogy. It exists as a unit. And then moved on to this new, possibly trilogy. Who knows? Trilogy or four or five, who knows? But yes, oh, totally, absolutely. I can't keep making them forever. But I could come back to it as well. Like, I may decide that there's another scientist that I want to make, you know, a biographical show about. Or another walk of life, for example. You know, maybe it's artists next, kings, who knows?
Okay, so yes, no, or maybe. The Encyclopedia of Space Travel.
You know, yes, because I've quite recently, I'm apt to disclose this yet, shall we say. It's quite a new thing, but it looks like I might have been booked by Eden Project to do a week-long residency on something called Encyclopedia of Space.
Okay. So I didn't know that. The Encyclopedia of Brexit.
That might be quite close to something I'm thinking of.
Oh my God!
For the third
I wanted
one.
To know on that one.
Yes. Shall I reveal here what I'm thinking of? What I'm going to be applying to the Arts Council for in a month or two's time is the Encyclopedia of British History. So that will certainly Brexit might well come into that, shall we say.
Yeah. When I saw Albert Einstein, relatively speaking...
Relativity, exactly.
Yeah. At the old courtroom. Absolutely, that space, which is a lecture room, but it is quite theatrical too, that worked. Mm. It kind of... that something was added. So you're back at the old courtroom for this one. Compared to, say, when you played in Adelaide in a more traditional theatre space, what is different for you as a performer when you can, say, play a lecture room rather than a traditional theatre? And are there advantages and disadvantages of each?
I think the old courtroom is lovely, and it has that kind of nice wooden feel, that kind of nice old-school feel. I don't think necessarily the audience will feel they're in a lecture hall. I mean, I also at Edinburgh Fringe, I played a lecture hall at the museum, a very large lecture hall. So, yes, there's something probably in the feel of the space that helps. There is learning that has gone on there. It is literally used as a lecture hall for the University of Brighton, I believe, the old courtroom. So, you know, that stuff sticks to the walls. You know, and imbues it with a quality I like to feel. You know, but I hope it doesn't feel too much like a lecture either. You know, it's meant to feel like a gig. They're coming to a gig, and I just go song, and I'm the musician. Or I'm a rock musician, and they just all happen to be about animals.
The Encyclopedia of Social Media.
You like,
please.
No, never going to happen.
Okay, that's great. Final question. The shows I've seen, they really do mix it all up. I mean, there's even clowning in there, and there's you putting costumes on, and there's pantomime, and then there's some serious stuff too. How do you find the balance? Is that all set in advance, or do you have to run it and then rewrite it?
It comes with an outside eye, having an outside eye on it, sometimes a director, sometimes, you know, I direct it myself, but it's more, you know, there are outside eyes who come and see it from time to time. That's really important to helping to shape the flow of the piece. And there's an instinctive element to it as well. There is definitely a flow to this one. It has different scenes, you know, it has a darker section to it. And that's really important to keep the audience interested. You can't just go exciting song. You do need to mix that up to give it colour. So I'd like to think I'm getting better at doing that myself instinctively, but you do need other people to look at it and to make sure you're getting that right.
I said that was the last question, but this is the bombshell question, the final one. Elon Musk bumps into you.
Yes.
Says, John, John, there's something interesting about this patent. I think I can use this in some way. How much?
The Encyclopedia. Like, okay.
The concept. Come on, how much is it worth, John Hinton?
If he wants to buy my website, encyclopedia.com, and or all the rights associated. Oh, I don't know. For him, it would mean to me. Well, no. Well, okay. Elon, not today, love.
Thank you very much, John Hinton, for the right answer at the end of this interview.